Let's stand together, shall we? Good to see you. Beautiful, beautiful day. A great day to be saved and to serve the Lord. And, of course, combined Sunday school, we get to hear from missionaries during this month, and it's been exciting already, and I'm looking forward to hearing from Brother Nick, his wife Lorena, and Zarella. They're going to Japan, and so I hope you'll be in prayer as he presents. You'll see a video, then he'll be speaking with us, but I hope you'll be in prayer that God will speak to your heart about what God has laid on his heart, and we thank the Lord for this young. I mean, these missionaries look younger and younger. I think I'm getting older and older. I'm not sure, but this very young couple. And we're excited. You glad you're saved today? Amen. Amen.
Well, good morning. I always like it when a missionary comes to a church and they speak a little bit in the language of the place that they're going. Now, we're not in Japan yet. I've studied a little bit. I only know a little. So if you know Japanese in here, don't judge me. But this morning, I just like to say, Ohayou gozaimasu. Watashi tachi wa Zarella ni kyuto Lorena desu. Yoroshiku onegai shimasu. And what that means is, good morning, we are Nick and Lorena Zarella. Please treat us kindly. Well, we're very excited to be here this morning. Pastor Blaylock, thank you so much for inviting us. Thank you for loving on us. We've had so much opportunity to meet your church family here. And please, don't let this morning service be the end. Come and visit us over as we're in the church grounds and talk to us. We love to talk about Japan. We love to talk about where we're from. And it's just an exciting time. As I said, my wife and I were Nick and Lorena Zarella. We're going to the nation of Japan. You probably know somebody close to us that we know. We're sent out of Plantation Baptist Church. If you've ever heard of Plantation Baptist Church, and you know Brother Hugh Black, would you raise your hand? Oh, yeah, I see hands everywhere. Brother Hugh Black got sick and tired of us, so he moved up north a little bit to Port St. Lucie there. But he was at our church for many years. He's been a blessing to us. I know that he's been a blessing to you, and Lord willing, he'll continue to do so as the Lord allows those opportunities to be available. So we do have a close connection through Brother Black, and I'm thankful for that. I do want to get in the Word of God together, and so I don't want to take up too much time with our testimonies this morning, but I do want to share a little bit about us and who we are and how the Lord called us. My wife is from Venezuela. She was born there and raised until she was about 10 years old. Her father was a pastor there. But when the political situation occurred and some of those other things that happened, her family had to get their visas and come to the States, where they've been ever since. I'm very thankful that they're in the States, because I was able to meet my wife through that. And praise the Lord for that opportunity there. And my wife's father was a pastor over in Venezuela. And so she has ministerial background and roots there. Me, not so much. I grew up in a home where my mom was a believer, my father was not. So I believe that in Christ, but more as a good luck charm than anything. He was a good luck charm to ward away evil spirits. But to me, he wasn't my God. He wasn't my Savior. It took until I was almost 20 years old before I asked Jesus Christ to come into my life and to save my soul. And it's been a wonderful, wonderful journey in the Lord ever since, as he's directed my path and called my wife and I to missions. Does anybody know the name Laverne Rogers by any chance? Anybody? He's a missionary in Japan. Today he is 92 years old. We support him as a missionary. 3 years ago, he planted another church. When Brother Rogers came to our church about 5 years ago, he took his shoes off after he was done preaching. He put them on the pulpit, and he said, "I'm getting older now, and my time is coming to a close very soon, and there's nobody to come and take over after me. Would there be anybody in here that can fill my shoes?" Now, I'm not claiming that I have the potential, my wife and I, to fill those shoes, because they're big shoes to fill. But man, the Lord began to put a burden on my heart for Japan. And that was the beginning of the call that the Lord had for us to go to this nation that is so in need. And I'd just like to share this morning very quickly now, before we get into the Word, how we know we're called to Japan. The Lord Jesus has given us a threefold cord. That's what we like to call it. It's not just for us, it's also for you as well. And I want you to understand that the Lord can give you this threefold cord if you have a big decision in your life to make, or any decision in reality to make. The Lord Jesus said, the Bible says in James 1, anybody seeks wisdom, ask of it. And the Lord Jesus will give it liberally, freely to those who ask. And so the first fold of that cord is the burden. As I just shared with you with Brother Laverne Rogers, that his sermon and his heart just placed that burden on our life. As we learn more about Japan and the need there, at that time, they were the first and most unreached people group in the entire world. Up until 2 months ago, some groups in India have overtaken them. I'm thankful that the Lord Jesus is working there. But if there's anything that I want to get across to the church this morning at Beacon Baptist is this. We love Japan. And we love the Japanese people. Not to say we don't love all people, but the Lord has put this spiritual love in our heart that we can't explain outside of Christ for the people, for the nation of Japan, to reach them with the gospel and to disciple them in the Word of God. And so we absolutely love them. And so the first fold of that cord is the burden. The second fold of that cord is the agreement. The local church is very important, amen. And so when we felt this burden in our heart, we went and we spoke with our pastor. We went and spoke with some of the deacons and some of those spiritual leaders that we knew and love and would give us good advice. And they said, if the Lord is calling you, we would love to lay hands on the both of you and send you off to Japan. And so we had that consensus agreement from our church that, yes, if God's calling you to be missions, we would recognize you. But the third and final fold of that cord, the most important, without this, we would not go to Japan, is the confirmation. Many of you had taken a prayer card of ours in the table over there in the lobby. And on that prayer card is a verse. That verse says that they may know from the rising of the sun and to the west that there is none other, that I am the Lord. As my wife and I prayed for a verse of confirmation, if this is where God wants us to go, show us. Well, that was my wife's verse, actually. As she prayed, the Lord brought her to Isaiah 45:6. And if you know anything about Japan, you know the nickname is called the land of the rising sun. It doesn't get much more clear than Isaiah 45:6 for my wife. As I prayed, he brought me to Acts 18:10. It's a very simple verse. In the latter part, it says that I have much people in that city. If you know anything about Japan, it's a nation of cities. You don't know where one starts or where one ends. They all flow together. 95% of the population live in urban areas, and in 20 years, they calculate it'll be at 99%. And so it truly is a nation of cities. And I want to share this before we get into the Word of God. That verse of confirmation in Acts 18:10 is not only a calling verse and a confirmation verse, but it's a promise. The nation of Japan has been called the graveyard for missionaries by different mission boards and Christian churches and whatnot. But the Lord Jesus promised me, he said, I have much people there. If we're willing, and other missionaries are willing, and churches are willing to support missions, if we go over the hands and the feet and the mouthpiece of Christ in that benighted land, well, guess what? Jesus has already promised that his Spirit, the Holy Spirit of the living God, is already working there and touching hearts. And if we're faithful to go, he's already got much people there, amen? And so we're thankful. We're thankful for churches like Beacon Baptist with a missions heart. With a heart to reach the world for Christ. And we just asked this morning to pray for us. Nothing will be established through us unless done by the hand of God through the prayers of his people. So keep us in your prayer. Take those prayer cards. Learn about us. Get to know us. And as we get to know you, we can pray for you as well. Amen. This morning, I'd like to be in the book of Ezekiel. If you could open up to Ezekiel chapter 3. Ezekiel chapter 3, please. As you're opening, I'd just like to tell this quick story about a man named Samuel Dyer. Samuel Dyer was a missionary to China. At the age of 39, he was acting as secretary to the General Missionary Conference there, and it was the first ever held in Chinese soil. While he was there, he wrote to his wife, who was in Singapore at the time, and he said this. He said, "From my windows, I look across to the lofty summits of the Chinese hills, and the sight is almost overwhelming. In my happiest moments, just two thoughts seem to concentrate every longing of my heart. One is that the name of Jesus may be glorified in China, and the other that you and I and each of our dear children may live only to assist in bringing this to pass. Cease to feel the intensest interest in the spiritual prosperity of China. I never can, while this bosom has a heart to feel. Cease to serve the cause of Christ among the Gentiles. I never may, while I have a head and hands to work. I am as happy as I can be without you, though nothing can compensate for the absence of one who is the joy of my heart. Still, I am about my Father's business, and if I may but do something for the evangelization of that benighted land, come sorrow, come joy, come grief, come delight, all shall be welcome for the love I bear for him who bled on the Mount of Calvary. Powerful words. A few weeks after he wrote that letter to his wife, he died of a severe fever. He never waned, though. I want you to understand. He never questioned the call that the Lord Jesus had for his life, but he always rejoiced and yearned to fulfill that call to reach the people of China. You know, many people have asked me this question. It's a real and it's an important question. Why Japan? It's legitimate. Why would I leave the commonalities, the normalcies of life behind and go to frontiers unknown to my wife and I? Why would we do that? And it's a very simple answer, really. It's because the Lord has said to us, go and speak my words. You see, the Lord has placed a call on our life, and with that call, an intense interest in the spiritual prosperity of the nation of Japan, a love that we can't explain outside of Christ for the people that are there. And so whether come joy, come sorrow, come grief, come delight, all shall be welcome for the love of him that we have who died on that cross at Calvary. And so the title of this message this morning is Go and Speak My Words. And today I want to communicate on this biblical command. And so we're going to learn three reasons from the life of Ezekiel as to why each of us, not just as a church body, I want us to understand this morning, but why each of us as individual Christians in Christ have to fulfill this command upon our own lives. And so before we begin, I just want to give very quickly some background information to Ezekiel. It's a very interesting, very awesome book, a very symbolic book with real application and real life application for us today. Ezekiel preached during the rise of the Babylonian Empire. He was taken in that second destruction that came upon them in Jerusalem. He was taken away to a refugee camp in Babylon. And that's the people that he was serving there. So the first 32 chapters of Ezekiel deals with that destruction that was coming to Jerusalem, to the temple, and to the people there. And the latter part deals with the hope of the restoration of Israel in the latter days. The people that Ezekiel was preaching to, though, were a spiritually lacking people. They exchanged the God of the Bible for a God of self-interest, a God of self-preservation, a God that didn't have judgment for sin. They didn't want to know what the Lord had to say. They were rebelling against him. And so it was to that people that Ezekiel was called to minister. And I want you to understand that before we get into our responsibilities this morning. Called to a very, very stone, cold-hearted people. And so with that understood, the first area of our responsibility, the first reason is this. We are called. It's very simple. I said we are called. That's found in the verse three verses of Ezekiel chapter 3. Our Bible says this. Moreover, he, that would be the Lord speaking to Ezekiel. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, eat that thou findest, eat this roll, and go speak unto the house of Israel. And so I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat that roll. And he said unto me, Son of man, cause thy belly to eat, and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. And then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. The verses here are a continuation of what was being spoken about in chapter 2, where the Lord says to Ezekiel, Son of man, I'm sending thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this very day. The Bible says that that nation of Judah at that time was filled with rebels against God and the commands of God. And so the Lord here is telling Ezekiel, don't be like them. Don't be a rebel. Open your mouth and consume this roll that I'm giving to thee. Now, the roll is like a book. It's a scroll. Okay, they used scrolls back then. Promise it's not a sushi roll as much as I might enjoy that, or bread roll. It's a book, and the Lord wasn't literally telling Ezekiel to eat a book. He was telling him to listen and to heed the word of God, to consume it spiritually into his very being as true. You see, Ezekiel, nobody else is doing that. And so I need you to take my word and to consume it into you. He was found the only man faithful, and the Lord was going to use him for the sake of others. Now, within that role, the Bible says at the end of chapter 2 are the lamentations of mourning and woe. wasn't going to be a message of joy and comfort. More destruction was coming to the Jewish people and to the nation of Judah. Jerusalem and the temple were going to be destroyed. And so it was a hard pill to swallow, as we call it. Which is probably why in the beginning of chapter 3, the Lord repeats himself. Ezekiel was commanded to eat that roll, the word of God. But in chapter 2, when he learned and he knew what the Lord Jesus had to say, that it was not exactly filled with the easiest of messages to preach. But God doesn't always call us to preach the easy stuff. The stuff that, you know, quote unquote, tickles the ears, amen? He calls us to preach his word in whatever context that he deems. And so he repeats himself to Israel. He says, eat the roll. Don't be a rebel like they're rebelling. Eat it and then go and speak to the house of Israel. And so Ezekiel, he heeds the command, he opens his mouth, and the Lord Jesus begins to fill him with that roll, which we know to be his word. And the Bible says in verse 3 that he's to consume it, not merely into the shallow parts. The Lord says, cause thy belly to eat and fill thy bowels with it. Fill yourself with the word of God, Ezekiel. Fill every fiber of your being with what I have to say. And you know what amazes me? Amazes me that at first glance, at the end of chapter 2, what seemed to be a word of mourning and woe, the Bible says that it became as honey for sweetness in his mouth after he consumed it. I mean, that's how the Bible works, amen? There is judgment for sin, and we have to preach that. But when people accept Christ Jesus as their Savior, guess what? That message of mourning and woe, that judgment, becomes honey for sweetness. Because there is hope in Christ. Sweetness at the bottom of a bitter cup. Amen. Krishna Pal was the first convert through the missionary of William Carey in India. And he said this. He said, I followed Hindu worship. I bathed in the Ganges. I worshipped dumb idols. I prostrated myself times without number at my guru's feet. I gave my gifts to the priests. I visited holy places. I kept repeating the name of my guardian deity. But it brought me little good, little relief from my sin. And then I heard of Jesus Christ, that he became flesh and dwelt among us and was as one that served and even for our ransom gave his life. What love, I thought, is this? And here I made my rest. Why India? Because God called men like William Carey to eat the roll and go and preach it to men like Krishna Pal. Why Israel? Because God called Ezekiel to eat the roll and preach it to his brethren. Why Japan? Because the Lord Jesus has called us to eat the roll and go to reach a people that are so lost without Christ. We are all, as individuals, called to take this book and reach people with the gospel of Christ and to disciple them in what God says we are called. Amen? Now, I'm not talking about full-time ministry either. I'm not talking about being sent out as missionaries, although that would be wonderful. I'm just talking about normal day-to-day life, friends, family, co-workers, church people that might not be saved. Are we fulfilling that duty that the Lord Jesus has called us to take the Bible, to eat it, to fill ourselves with it, and then go and speak unto the world. I pray that we are, amen. Second area, reason for our responsibility is this. The outcome does not negate our responsibility. The outcome does not negate our responsibility. I'm going to read quickly here for sake of time, but that's found in verses 4 through 21. Please follow along as I read, and again, I apologize for reading quickly. The Bible says, and he said unto me, God's continuing to speak, Son of man, go and get thee unto the house of Israel and speak with my words unto them. For thou art not sent to a people of a strange speech or of a hard language, but to the house of Israel. Not to many people of a strange speech and of a hard language, whose words thou canst not understand. Surely had I sent thee to them, they would have hearkened unto thee. But the house of Israel will not hearken unto thee, for they will not hearken unto me. For all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. Behold, I have made thy face strong against their faces, and thy forehead strong against their foreheads. As an adamant harder than flint have I made thy forehead. Fear them not, neither be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. Moreover, he said unto me, Son of man, all my words that I shall speak unto thee, receive in thine heart, and hear with thine ears, and go, get thee to them of the captivity. and unto the children of the people, and speak unto them, and tell them, thus saith the Lord God, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear. And then the Spirit took me up, and I heard behind me a voice of a great rushing, saying, blessed be the glory of the Lord from his place. And I heard also the noise of the wings of the living creatures that touched one another, and the noise of the wheels over against them, and the noise of a great rushing. And so the Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness and the heat of my spirit, but the hand of the Lord was strong upon me. And then I came to them of the captivity at Tel Aviv that dwelt by the river of Chebar, and I sat there where they sat and remained there astonished among them 7 days. And it came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, I have made thee a watchman of the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word of my mouth, and give them warning from me. And when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. And yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die, because thou hast not given him warning. He shall die in his sin, and his righteousness, which he hath done, shall not be remembered. Understand that that is not righteousness unto salvation. That's good, being a good works of a type of person. That's not a sinless righteousness. I just want to clear that up. But his blood will I require at thine hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn the righteous man that the righteous sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live, because he is warned. Also thou hast delivered thy soul. The Lord in these verses instructs Ezekiel on his call, and on the negative result for his preaching, and on the command to preach regardless of the outcome. In chapter 2, the Lord commands the people, or compares the people of Israel as scorpions who would speak foul words with foul looks in rebellion against Ezekiel's ministry. Here he says their hearts, their heads would be as an adamant, like harder than flint, like stone bashing against stone. I mean, imagine being told, go and preach to these people who will not hear you, who will not listen, and in fact will harden themselves in venomous opposition to your ministry. It's not something that a lot of us would raise our hands to go and speak unto a people like that. Amen. But regardless of that reality, the Lord says to Ezekiel in verse 10, son of man, take all of my words, not merely the good stuff, not merely the easy stuff, not merely the stuff that tickles the ears, but take all of my words and go and preach them to the children of the captivity, whether they will listen, whether they will hear, or whether they will rebel against it, whether they will forbear. The Lord knew what was going to happen, but he still gives every man, woman, and child an opportunity to hear the gospel and to accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. So even in rebellion, the Lord, as we all should have the same heart, yearn for people in God's grace and mercy to respond to his call. And so the Lord still sends faithful men to preach the word of God. Ezekiel, the Bible says, was then taken up by the Spirit of God, and the Bible says he went up in bitterness and rage. And I think that we can sympathize a bit with Ezekiel. If we're called to a people that we love with all of our heart, but God says they're going to reject it, that's a hard pill to swallow. That's tough to hear. But the Bible says the hand of the Lord was strong upon him in verse 14. He received his strength from God, not from people. My teacher once said this, and I don't want you to misunderstand, but understand this quote. He said, if the primary reason, not the only reason, not a good reason, but if the primary reason, the number one reason why you're going to be a missionary is for the salvation of the heathen, the reason you are going to leave is because of the heathen. Sometimes people are difficult in our own families, in our ministries, wherever it might be. People can be difficult. And so if our strength in the ministry to go and preach to people is derived from the people, well, the reason why we'll leave is because of the people. Israel went up in bitterness and rage, but the Bible says, the Lord's hand was strong upon me. The people of Israel had potential to turn him away from the calling that God had for his life. But if he found his strength in the Lord, he'd have all he needed. And so the Spirit of God takes him to the river of Chebar just to sit and watch the refugees of Israel and their daily business. And the Bible says he was there astonished. There's a sense of desertion there. The people were blatantly sinning against God. But God said, I've made thee a watchman, so go and speak my word and warn them. It's very important what the Lord says in those final four verses that we read from 18 to 21, because it deals not only with Ezekiel, but with you and I. Ezekiel's responsibility was limited to the preaching of the word of God, not to their response. Understand? He had to warn them, but he couldn't make decisions for them. So if he refused to follow God's call in his life, the Bible says that he would be responsible for their sin. In essence, he would have their blood on his hands. Hudson Taylor was given opportunity to preach to a large congregation in Perth, Australia. A conference that had nothing to do with missions, had no interest in missions. And he told this story about a Chinese man who was named Peter. That wasn't his real name, that was just an easier name, an English name to speak. Named Peter, who he had preached to on that ship that they were sailing on, but he never came to Christ. As they docked, a splash was heard overboard. Peter had fallen into the water, and the waves were going in and out, and he was drowning. And so Hudson Taylor spots these fishermen with a dragnet, and he has a conversation with them. He said, come, a man is drowning. Come and rake over the spot. And they said, it's not convenient for us. We're busy fishing. He says, never mind your fishing, come, but come only at once. I'll pay you well. And they had this haggling going on of 30 shillings or $5. That's not enough, they said. We want more. How much do you have? Well, I've got about $14 on me. And so when they finally, after all this haggling was done, they heard about the $14, they came. And they raked over the spot. And the story goes that the first time that these fishermen raked over the spot, they brought up Peter's body. And Hudson Taylor was trying to revive him, trying to bring back life. But as much as he tried, it was just too plain that life had fled from him. Sacrifice to this callous indifference of these people who might have easily saved his life had they come right away. And the whole congregation in Perth, Australia was taken aback. They were horrified. How could a people on earth be so utterly callous and selfish? But Mr. Taylor's voice continued on and struck home with them. And he said, is the body then of so much more value of the soul? We condemn those heathen fishermen. We say they're guilty of a man's death because they could have easily saved him. But what of the millions whom we leave to perish? And that eternally. Why China? Because Hudson Taylor was called to, and to reject that call would mean that the blood of the Chinese people would be on his hands. Why Japan? Because if we don't heed that call, the blood of the Chinese will be on our hands. Many of our churches and many of our people have grown calloused to the need for people to come to Christ in the world. For those men in Perth, there was indignation. But so often we've been so broken down by the news. In Japan, about a month and a half ago, 75 people died when the hurricane came. 0.58% of people in Japan know Christ Jesus as their Savior. With those numbers, how many of those 75 do you think went home to be with the Lord? As Hudson Taylor once said, people are perishing. And God is so blessing the work. I never want any of us to stand before the Lord one day with blood on our hands. I want us to be able to stand before him with the millions of souls that we were able to reach at Beacon Baptist and those that we would be able to reach in our families and in our work areas and whatnot, glorifying God for the great work that he has done through us. Amen. Now, I don't have enough time, so I'll very quickly go through it. But the third reason for our responsibility is we are the Lord's mouthpiece. That's found in verses 22 through 27. You can read those in your own time. But essentially what happens here is the prophet Ezekiel is instructed to be shut into his home. And he was not to come outside and speak anything unless it was specifically directed by God. So his mouth was literally closed for 7 years from the time he was instructed of this to the time where he could speak his own words again. We are the Lord's mouthpiece. Okay, Ezekiel was the Lord's mouthpiece. During that time of his ministry, during those 7 years, nothing that came out of Ezekiel's mouth was of his own heart. It was all, thus saith the Lord. You'll see that in verse 27. Thus saith the Lord God. The Lord wanted the people to know that anytime Ezekiel spoke, it was not him speaking, but it was God that was confronting them. It was God speaking to them. At our church, we have a missionary couple to the Philippines, John and Roberta Steffi, and they came and they preached it. And John, Brother John came and preached a sermon, and I remember something that he said so potently. He said this, he said, "I am the mouthpiece of Plantation Baptist Church in the Philippines." And the truth of that statement struck home with me. You know, as one supported by us, he speaks the words of God that we have commissioned him through our support to go to the Filipino people and preach to them. So why Japan? Because we have the wonderful privilege to be the mouthpiece of the Lord Jesus at our church and the churches that come alongside of us to support us to reach a people that are so desperate in need of Christ and the gospel. To preach unto them, "Thus saith the Lord God," to shut ourselves into that country, so to speak, and tell them the words of the living God. The mouthpiece for Christ is you and I. It's this church, yes, Beacon Baptist, it is, but it's also you and I, as the Lord has commissioned us to go out and to reach those that we love. And so why Japan is a simple answer. That's where the Lord Jesus has made it plain to Lorena and I that that's where he's called us. That's where he wants us to go. He spoke directly to us in his word. And in that calling, he's filled us with that role. In that calling, he has directed us where to go and speak. And the Bible says that we ought to and we need to. We have no desire to rebel against that. Not everybody is called to go to China or India or the Philippines or Japan. Sometimes we're called right here to Jupiter, Florida. Sometimes we're called over to Utah, Brother Moore. Sometimes we're called to Japan. But I want everybody to understand, as we do, we are called as individuals to somebody, whether it be our family, whether it be our community, whether it be Utah, whether it be Japan, we're called to somebody. Are we fulfilling that call? Let's not meet the Lord Jesus red-handed. Let's fulfill that call. Amen. Who is your ministry? Go and speak his words. Thank you very much for the time. Again, please come and visit us. We'd love to talk to you more. Thank you, Pastor.